Isaiah 43, verse 14 to 28. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring down as fugitives all the Babylonians in the ships in which they took pride. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland. To give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, nor honoured me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not brought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. But you have burdened me with your sins, and wearied me with your offences. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Your spokesman rebelled against me. So I will disgrace the dignitaries of your temple, and I will consign Jacob to destruction and Israel to scorn.
Thank you. It's a new year. And as we reflected back, perhaps, on some of the highlights of last year for us, we were in good company. Frequently throughout the Bible, God's people remember, or God reminds them, of the great things he has done in their history. Reflecting back and giving thanks is a great way to help us to place our trust and faith in God. As we remember his faithfulness to us in the past, it prompts us to praise and be reassured of his promise of faithfulness to us in the present and to lead us into the future. And in our passage today, the words of God that Isaiah relays to the people establish the identity of God by reminding the people of what he has done. He is the only one. He is the only one who is their true Saviour. In verse 15, he is the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. And this follows on from the first half of chapter 43, which we didn't have time to read today, but it establishes God as the one who has created and formed Israel and has promised his faithfulness to them in covenant relationship. And this sentiment carries on in the beginning of what we read today. It reminds the people of the triumphant acts of God in the past, in bringing them out of slavery in Egypt at the Exodus. God is the one who made the way through the sea. God is the one who ensured they passed safely through the waters. And God is the one who allowed the pursuing Egyptian armies to be engulfed in the waters and the Israelites saved. This moment in their history was a decisive act. And Isaiah puts it pretty bluntly. in relation to the Egyptians. They lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. That's pretty terminal. And this moment of deliverance from slavery was absolutely critical to the people of Israel. It was that significant moment of history that they remember and they commemorate right up to this day in the Passover celebrations. This is the God that they serve, and he is established through the things that he has done, that he is the only one who has the power to save them. And yet, in verse 18, we read, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on this past." It's bizarre, isn't it? Can Isaiah really mean that they should forget the exodus that he has just described in incredible language? They can't possibly forget that, surely. Having established this moment in their history as part of God's claim to be the one true God, the only one who can see, Isaiah then tells them, relays what the Lord tells them, to forget the former things. So clearly he doesn't mean this literally. He doesn't mean they should erase it from their minds and pretend it hasn't happened, like taking a battery out of a robot or resetting your smartphone to factory settings. What Isaiah is saying is that they must not live in the past. They must not make an idol of the past and what God has done. They mustn't constantly be looking backwards. Yes, what God has done in the past and how he has exercised his power on their behalf reinforces the claim that God is who he says he is. But that claim isn't just based on what happened in the past. Isaiah's oracle and prophecy here tells us the identity of God is also claimed in what he will do in the future. It's not just the great things he has done. It is the great things he will do amongst the people that establishes who he is as the Lord, the Holy One, Israel's creator, your king. And we read that promise in verse 19. "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God has done marvelous and miraculous and wonderful things for the people of Israel in the past. And he even instigated festivals like the Passover so that they wouldn't forget. But the message here in Isaiah is that those things are great and wonderful and are only possible because of who God is. But that God is not finished yet. He is going to carry on doing a new thing in and amongst the people. And don't just think that this is the only place that Isaiah talks about this. If you look in chapter 42, verse 9 and 48, verse 6, he's emphasizing again the new thing that God will do. And on the basis of his covenant with the people, God will continue in faithfulness to them, despite their unfaithfulness to him, which we read about, or rather, Iona read for us in verses 22 to 28. His demonstrable power, which has come to their rescue, even though they have been unfaithful and have forgotten how to worship him, that power is not a spent force. And Isaiah seems pretty astounded that they can't see it quite yet. "Do you not perceive it?" he says. His perspective is as a man of faith, and he wants them to open their eyes of faith and perceive what God is doing. And the following verses kind of show the problem as to why they can't. They have stopped fulfilling their side of the covenant relationship. They have stopped following the directions God gave for temple worship, the sacrifices and the incense and the offerings. This is a people who are God's chosen people, yet they are not acting like it. They are God's people not because of their righteousness or spiritual superiority. They are God's people because they have been chosen in his grace. And despite this rebellion, God still promises to act on their behalf and do a new thing. And it is described as making a way in the wilderness, streams in the wasteland, water in the desert. And it talks about wild animals giving honour to God and the people drinking in this new thing. They are given water in a wasteland so that they may proclaim praise, that they may indeed declare this God who has done this new thing is their God, and that they are his people. This new thing is rooted not in newness for the sake of it, but rooted in the identity of God as a God who is faithful and who acts in power to lead his people forward. How do you feel about the thought of God doing a new thing today? Because new means change. God has declared in many places in the Bible many different things that he either has made new or will make new. And that's what we will look at in this new year. In our Sunday morning services, we will look at some of the things in the Bible that God, where God promises newness. And that's fine, but do we want to see these things that God is doing new as just a theological exercise? Or do we want God to do new things in our lives and in the life of our fellowship here together? Do we want to see God do new great things in those of us who make up Wilton Baptist Church today? Do we want to see God do new great things in the lives of people who will make up Wilton Baptist Church in the future? Because new means change. We have been remarkably blessed in this fellowship over Christmas and, in fact, over the last 2 or 3 years. Many of the faces that I enjoy and love seeing here this morning, because you're all fabulous, have only joined us in the last 2 or 3 years. And so many of you are already such a part of this fellowship, and many of the jobs and the acts of service that you do mean that we can continue, and we would not be able to continue without the things that you do. We have had baptisms in the last few years after a drought. We have started a new house group this year. We have been blessed with new visitors. And I could go on. It is absolutely fantastic, and we are right to give thanks to God. But we cannot live in the past. We give thanks for the past, but we look to the future. Because none of this that has been achieved is because of who we are or because of our own spiritual merit. It is all because of God's grace. Isaiah says the wild animals honour God because he provides water in the wasteland. So are we as thirsty as an animal in a desert hunting down and pursuing water? Are we that hungry for the new things that God is going to do? It's very easy to say we are. But then when that new thing might require us to change or adapt or grow, then perhaps it might not feel quite so attractive. But this passage reminds us that God is faithful. He acts on behalf of the people for their good. even when they do not always honour him. One of the most significant stories in the UK on spiritual matters over the last year has been the Bible Society's publication of the Quiet Revival Report. It has been much pored over, and I have to say it's one of the questions I've been asked about more than any other as I've either visited family, friends, conferences, fellow students, fellow ministers. Are you seeing the quiet revival in your church? And the quiet revival is good news, but it is not the final story. We all still need to perceive, to discern what the Holy Spirit is doing, where he is leading, being willing to embrace the new thing that God is doing, to grow in our discipleship, even as we seek to encourage others to grow in theirs. So this new year, how thirsty are we for the new thing that God is doing, the new thing that God is going to do in this fellowship? So this year, you knew it was coming. If this is your first New Year with us, you have no idea what I'm about to do. Everybody else is waiting for it, and they probably already guessed. We have a verse for the year. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I hope that we are excited in anticipation for what God is going to continue to do in this fellowship. Some of us might already be feeling deeply challenged and a little bit scared, but God is faithful. He will never lead us into something that is bad for us. God is into making things new, and that does involve change, but it is change for the good. It is change that brings honour to him, and it is change that helps us invite others into relationship with God. So as is our custom, got that verse on a postcard ready for you to take home. I invite you, it's only by invitation, you are invited to take, there might be, you might grab them at three at once as I've just done, take a postcard home. Take two if you need to, one for your Bible, one for your fridge. Put it somewhere, by your back door, by the front door, wherever you exit your house, so that you are reminded to just think, God, where are you leading me? Where are you leading us? Pray this prayer, pray this verse for Wilton Baptist Church, us as a fellowship together in 2026. Because God has done great things. But the promise is that he will do new great things too. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the great things you have done in our lives, in the life of this fellowship. We thank you for the great things that we can trace back, right back to 1981 when this fellowship was established. We thank you for the great things you have done in the lives of all the people who have worshipped here throughout that time. And Lord, we come before you in hopeful anticipation, in humble praise and honour of the great honour of you, in anticipation of the great things you will do. Lord, we thank you for the things that we're already planning and look forward to with excitement. But help us to make sure that we are following your leading in all that we do and plan. And Lord, we pray for each one of us. Grant us the courage. We prayed last year that we would be strong and courageous. And sometimes doing the new thing takes strength and courage. But we thank you that whatever the new thing is, whatever the change it might bring, we can do so trusting in you, the God of love, the God of faithfulness. You are the Holy One. You have called us by name. Lord, help us to be as thirsty as wild animals in a desert for what you are going to do, that we may praise and honour you with our whole lives and draw others and invite others into relationship with you. And we thank you that we can praise you in the name and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.